And so let's not move on too quickly, because those words from Chelsea and from Claire are for people here this morning. And we don't ever want to miss what God's saying. We don't ever want to rush on past what he's saying to us. And so let's just pray. Lord, thank you for speaking so clearly to us this morning about hearing your voice. And maybe it's been drowned out by the noise of life, but all we have to do is tune back in. Your voice is there. Or Lord, maybe it's a refreshing of our eyes to see you afresh, to see the wonder of all that you are. So I pray this morning, even as we come to your word, that you give us fresh eyes, you renew our eyes to see your wonder, you give us ears to hear, as your scriptures say, so that we can hear and see all that you're saying to us and all that you're doing before us and for us and in us. Lord, we want to see you and hear you well. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, as mentioned, is that going to go on? Yeah, my name is Rick, and it's great to be here this morning. I was out at Aldershot last week. Again, those who are visiting, we have a church here in Farnham. We're one church in three locations, so we have a site here in Farnham, a site in Aldershot, and a site in Borden. And it was just so good to be able to go into our Aldershot site. I hadn't been there since probably the beginning of the year, and just be welcomed as family. And it's wonderful to have family in different locations, and it's a joy just to be able to go over there and just be received as family. So they send all their warmest regards to you all, and we'll be seeing all of the three sites together when we gather for Waverley Woods. So please do book up, as Sean said. It will be a great weekend. But this morning, we are in the sixth week of our preaching series, and the series is called Just 10. And it's a 10-week course that looks at the 10 commandments and asks questions as to whether these words written thousands of years ago could possibly have any relevance for our lives today. It says, well, really, it's 10 commandments written thousands of years ago. Could that mean anything for me? Could that mean anything for my life today? And also, as many of us here are Christians, we've received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, what we do in looking back to the 10 commandments, so that we're looking at the 10 commandments, and then as we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, we then look at the 10 commandments through Christ. And the reason we do that is because Jesus is the one who has perfectly fulfilled the law. In his life, in his death, and his resurrection, he perfectly satisfied the law. And so now when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we can stop striving in our own efforts to be right before God, because he has perfectly satisfied all God's commands. We believe in the name of the Lord Jesus and all that he has done, and we are given right standing before God. And that's good news, isn't it? Yes. Isn't that good news? Yes. Hallelujah. Praise God. So in the light of what the Lord Jesus has done for each one of us, we can look through to the Ten Commandments and we can see that these words, these timeless words of God, have great meaning for us. And so today's title is Keep Peace With Your Parents. And it comes from the fifth commandment. And I don't know if it's just a coincidence, but sometimes coincidences happen. that you're preaching on the title and the message about keeping peace with your parents, which comes from the fifth commandment, which says, honor your mother and your father, and then it turns out to be your son's 14th birthday. Can you possibly imagine what that's like? It's like God sets it up. Wonderful. So let me read you a letter. Dear Mum and Dad, since I left for college, I've been remiss in writing, and I'm sorry for my thoughtlessness in not having written before, but I'll bring you up to date. But before you read, please sit down. Don't read on unless you are sitting down. I'm getting along pretty well now, the skull fracture and the concussion that I got when I jumped out of my dormitory window has gone down a bit, and it was because the dorm caught on fire that I had to jump out of the window. It's all pretty well healed. I only get those really bad headaches a few times a day. Fortunately, an attendant at the petrol station witnessed the fire in my dorm and then the jump, and he ran over and took me to the hospital, and he continued to visit me there. When I got out of the hospital, I had nowhere to live because of the burnout conditions of my room, so he was kind enough to invite me to share his basement bedroom flat. It's a bit small, but kind of cute. He's a great guy, and we've fallen deeply in love, and we're planning to get married. We haven't set the exact date yet, but it will be before my pregnancy begins to show. Yes, Mum and Dad, I'm pregnant. I know how much you are looking forward to being grandparents, and I know you will you will welcome the baby and give it the same tender care and devotion that you gave me as a child. The reason for the delay in our marriage is that my boyfriend has an infection, which I carelessly caught from him. I know, however, that you will welcome him into our family with open arms. He is kind, and although not well-educated, he's ambitious. Although he is of a different race and religion than ours, I know that your often expressed tolerance will not permit you to be a big issue for you guys. In conclusion, now that I've brought you up to date, I want to tell you that there's no dormitory fire. I did not have concussion or skull fracture. I was not in the hospital. I'm not pregnant. I did not have an infection. And there is no boyfriend in my life. However, I have failed my exams, and I wanted you to see... I wanted you to see these results in the right perspective. The fifth commandment, honor your mother and your father, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God has given to you. Exodus 20, verse 12. A positive focus on the smallest unit of society, the family. Good families makes a healthy society. But how do we honor our mother and father? Perhaps our parents' expectations are just so out of line, we feel we can't possibly live up to them. Or maybe our parents continually criticize our appearance. You look good today, Samuel. Our career, our partner, how we raise our children, how often we call or how often we visit. Or perhaps when our parents decline in health as they get older and they require more from us and we actually don't know how to provide it. See, no matter how strained our relationship with our parents might be, there's always room for improvement. But how do we do it? Point number one, honor our parents by accepting them. Honor our parents by accepting them. Proverbs 23, verse 22 says this, listen to your father who gave you life and don't despise your mother's experience when she is old. Don't know if that means you can do it when she's young. I don't know. Honor our parents by accepting them. Don't tune them out. God is not asking us to pretend that they're perfect when they're not. Despite our parents' many faults and the issues we may have with them and their failings, we're instructed to honor them. You see, when you go to court, don't know if anyone's been to court, but if you go to court, you address the judge as your honor. It's not because you think he's a particularly good person or not, it's because of his position, and we're respecting the position. So point one, we honor our parents by accepting them. Point two, We honor our parents by appreciating them. You see, acceptance is saying, I accept you in spite of your negatives. Appreciation says, I respect your positives. See, even if we find our parents difficult, we can still appreciate them for their effort. See, parenting is difficult. It's time-consuming and it's a demanding responsibility. It's costly, right? Finances and time and self-sacrifice, and suddenly you were living your own life, and then you met your husband or your wife, and then you married, and you're still sort of living your own lives. You're rubbing up against each other a little bit and sort of learning a little bit about self-sacrifice and loving the other person, and then boom, kids are here. And you really learn what giving your life to someone else is. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. But it's costly, isn't it? See, two fathers were discussing the cost of raising children. And one said, I know the costs are great, but it's worth it to me just to have someone in the house who knows how to operate the computer and the DVD. Let's appreciate our parents for their effort and sacrifice. Point three, honor our parents by affirming them. Proverbs 3 and verse 27 says, do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it's in your power to help them. Acknowledge them when they do right. Mom, that was really good what you did. Thank you, that was really kind what you said. Dad, that was just wonderful the way you helped me with that. Thank you very much. See, this is the commandment that actually doesn't last a lifetime. One day, we may be too late to make amends. It's tragic that some people give honor to their parents at their funeral when it's past time. No degree of expense put on a funeral is equal to a thank you, a visit, a letter, a phone call when we have the opportunity. So let's honor our parents by affirming them. Point four, honor our parents by not abandoning them. How to juggle our aging parents' needs with our responsibility is a complex problem. My dad's 86 or turning 86 in August, and he's getting more and more frail. And it's more complex than because I'm over here, my sister's in Brisbane where he lives in Australia, and my brother's down in Sydney. And we all have families, we all have busy lives, and you're getting to that point where you are needing to discuss more and more. What are we going to do? He's being a bit... He's not. I need to remember the message I'm preaching. He's quite independent. And he built the house. Him and Mum built the house that we all grew up in, and he still lives there. My sister's trying to suggest to him that perhaps going into something where there'd be people around and it might be a bit better for him, and he's not really jumping at that at the moment. But it's difficult, isn't it? I get it. That sense of independence perhaps gone. And yet as parents get older, it becomes a more difficult problem. But it's important to offer our support and assistance in old age. We honor our parents by not abandoning them, but by accommodating them in some positive and practical way. In our modern age of individualism and the loss of the concept of the extended family, we need to work out what that means for each one of our families. My family's different to your family, different to someone else's family, but we honor our parents by not abandoning them. Point five, a word to the children. The fifth commandment does not say, humor your father and your mother. Children, obey your parents, for this is the right thing to do. Ephesians 6, verse 1. Get along with your parents. Don't be selfish. Mark Twain said, when I was 14, my father was so ignorant I could hardly bear him. By the time I was 21, I was amazed to see how much he had learned in 7 years. It seldom occurs to us growing up that someday we will know as little as our parents. Some of you didn't get that, but we'll... You see, the best reason for honoring our parents is because God tells us to. And God says honoring our parents not only impacts them, it impacts us, and it's a recipe for blessing and prosperity. A word to the parents, point six. This commandment does work both ways. Yes, it says that children have a duty to honor their parents, but parents should be worthy of honor. A teenager was heard to say, when we get our parents so late in age that it's impossible for them to change their habits. There's an illustration of children shouting and seeming like they're quarreling, and the mother walked in and said, what are you all quarreling about? They said, we're not quarreling, we're just playing mummies and daddies. So one of the best ways to correct children is to correct the example we are setting for them. Parents make it a lot easier to fulfill this commandment if they're fulfilling their responsibilities as parents. They say most parents are really good with their grandchildren because they get a second chance. Let's be as good as we can. Very true. There we go. Amen. Let's be as good as we can in our parenting. Because it's from my experience anyway, four children, and we read before we had kids. My wife loves to research, and we read every book we could get our hands on. And you sort of... the feeling, okay, I've got this. then the child arrives, and you're like, I don't have a clue. I don't have a clue. I'm making it up as I go along. And I remember holding Samuel and trying to like bath him, and am I going to break him? What is? And then and it just as it, you learn from each other, don't you? You talk, and then obviously you grow and mature, and you do get better at it. But this is part of being church as well, isn't it? That we're able to come alongside each other, come along new parents, and say it's okay. Come look to older parents and say, how did you do this? How did you cope with it when they were this age, and then they get to this age, and then they're this age, and what? How it all changes. But let's be as good as we can in our parenting. Sean and Haley and Paula and Adrian and Bridget Berry have been running those parenting evenings where just really sharing their experience of the years and trying to equip us and help us in that walk. See, it's with God's help and through the Holy Spirit that we can do as well as we can. We won't be perfect as parents, but we can work as hard as we can at it. And with God's help, we can be those parents that are worthy of honor from our children. See, if we want to be parents that are worthy of honor, I guess we need to ask ourselves a question as, where do we look? Who is our best model? Is it Sean and Haley? They're quite good. Is it someone else? And yes, they can all give us parts of the puzzle, and they can all be an encouragement to us. But in the end, the greatest example of a parent is our Heavenly Father. You see, He is the one parent who is perfect, who never lets us down, who never does the wrong thing, who always acts in our best interest. And I think that's a real key for us to remember as we parent our children, as we endeavor to do the best we can, that we treat our kids the way that God treats us. So let's have a look at that. Point one, God listens to us. God is close to all who call on whom? Psalm 145, verse 18. God is always close to those who call on him. Let that ring in our heads. Let that be a foundation for us. Because we don't ever want to be in a situation where one of our teenagers says this to us. Home is a place where you can say whatever you want. No one will be listening anyway. Let's be great listeners. Let's listen to understand as well. Too often, I think we're trained to listen to attack. We're listening in conversations at work or conversation with people, and we're kind of hearing people perhaps less to understand and more to kind of lock and load. Right, I've got that point I can go back on. I've got that point I can go back on. But God calls us to be good listeners. So God listens to us, point one. Point two, God understands us. Proverbs 24, verse 3 says, homes are built on the foundation of wisdom and understanding. They say the carpenter works with the grain and not against it. And the proof that we understand our children is that we are patient with them. To be like our Heavenly Father, we need to understand our children. Are we perfect? Absolutely not. But God accepts us. And that's called grace. You see, God wants us to exercise grace with our children. And alongside grace, we do need to also demonstrate honesty. Don't imply perfection. And really importantly for parents, admit it when you're wrong. Admit it when you're wrong. Lindy and I have worked hard at this. Lindy still thinks I need to work harder. But when you're wrong, when you get something wrong, it's humbling to go to your kids and say, sorry, I got that wrong, please forgive me. But if you're not doing that as parents, you're not modeling that into their hearts and into their lives, how do they understand that concept of forgiveness? Keep your promises. We've probably all heard ourselves say, I know, but. You promised you'd take me to the park. I know, but now I'm busy. As much as we can, let's keep our promises, even when it's difficult. Point three, God loves us. The Bible is full of examples of God's love for his children. But how do we express that love so that our children understand? How do we express that love so that our children understand? And I think there's a couple of ways, three ways. There's surely many more. But through affection, through affirmation, and through attention. How often do we just sit down and give our kids attention? How much time do we give them? And giving attention is really important. Listening with our ears and our eyes and letting them set the timetable. It just reminds me, there's this, I'm doing a course as part of the Commission Network of Churches, and it's a rolling program, and so I'm on the second year, and we've got a fresh intake of first years. And this one chap, a really, really lovely guy, but when he talks, he closes his eyes. And so he'll be talking in a conversation and in a group discussion, and he closes his eyes. And I find it it really freaks me out. Like, he'll be talking like this, and he's got his eyes closed, and I'm like trying to, are your lids open? I mean, and imagine if sometimes we give that perception. They say it's easier to build children than to mend broken adults. Let's love our children through affection and affirmation and attention. And we do, don't we, need to build up our kids when they do something right. Say, well done, you did that well. That's great. Affirmation and attention. Maybe you've heard of the 5 love languages for kids. Maybe you've read that book. Tune in to how your kids need to be loved. Because if we're doing it in the wrong way, it can just be so neutral. And they don't get it. There's a great story of friends of ours up in London. Husband and wife, they were chatting away, and the husband just thought he was doing the best thing. Every day he'd be taking the garbage out, and he'd take the garbage out and he'd put it in the bin and walk back in. Well, wife's going to be loving me like that. And he'd take it back in. And she was like, maybe it was neutral. At best, it was probably a little bit negative. But, it was just... And so if we miss each other because we're not tuning in to how our kids need to be loved and for that love to be expressed, we think we might be expressing love, but if we're not doing it the way they're needing to hear it, we can be missing something. So that can be a good resource for us. I'm sure there's many, many others. But let's tune into how our kids need to be loved. And let's make sure we're doing as much as we can to express our love to them so they understand it through affection, affirmation, and attention. Point 4, God disciplines his children. The Lord disciplines those he loves. Hebrews 12, verse 6. It's a sign of God's love when he disciplines us. Proverbs 13, verse 21 says, if you refuse to discipline your children, it proves you don't love them. Ouch. Disciplining our children tells them we care about them and how they act. It also provides a structure for them to work within, which they need. I think probably the best way that parents can discipline their children is by being disciplined themselves. 3 things we should give our children is life, love, and laughter. And perhaps 3 rules for the home: be fair, be firm, and be fun. Be fair, be firm, and be fun. When you say that's it, it's got to be it. And parents that have got multiple children. Claire says she had 6. You guys are probably the winners in that. But you guys are like, Jubilee's got talent right there. But what can happen when you have more and more kids is that you can begin to ease off. Maybe it's years of wear and tear, I don't know, but it's important for kids to know where your word is and where their line is. Be fair, be firm, and be fun. Make our homes fun. It's what I learned particularly from the Rices. Love the way that Adrian and Paula have created a home that's just fun. They're girls. They want to bring their kids home. When everyone's up, when Archie's up, it's just fun. It's a bit mad, but it's fun. That's great. Point 5, a word to those who don't have parents. Even if my father and my mother abandon me, God will hold me close. Psalm 27, verse 10. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 18, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. See, God longs to comfort and to heal us. One reason so many people feel weighed down and burdened by the idea of honoring their parents is that they have unresolved resentments towards parents. You see, even if those resentments are justified, even if the relationship has been really tragic, we can still choose to forgive. We choose to forgive because we're instructed to forgive. We can choose to forgive, and it can open up the possibility of a better relationship. You see, many people are reluctant to forgive their parents. It can be deeply painful to be betrayed or belittled by your own parents. And many people hold back from forgiving because they assume incorrectly that forgiveness means they have to forget the painful things that have happened. See, if you have been hurt by parents, you can forgive them without playing down the pain that they've caused. But even in the context of the most difficult relationships, we're called to forgive. The dictionary describes or gives detail of the word forgive in this way. The first point, to pardon or release from punishment for a fault or offense. To give up anger, resentment, or the need for revenge. And three, to show mercy or compassion. See, in other words, forgiveness allows us to build something positive in the present while still making sure that we won't repeat what's happened in the past. And I'm sure in a room of this size, with all the different backgrounds we've had, this can stir up a whole lot of feelings for people. Some of hurt and pain, and others perhaps of regret and not forgiving. But this morning we can be assured of God's forgiveness to us. We can be assured of the power of the Holy Spirit that enables us to forgive, so we don't have to do it in our own strength. Romans 12 verse 18 says this, do your part to live in peace with everyone as much as possible. So if you've recognized wrong attitudes towards your parents, then as much as it lies in you, forgive your parents, receive forgiveness from God, and forgive yourself. See, 2,000 years ago, a father gave up his son. He did that to pay the price for our debt, the debt that we could never pay. But he also did it so that we could be adopted into his family. And he wants you to know, whatever your experience of family, here he will be the perfect parent. God loves each one of us as if there was only one of us. See, Jesus told three stories, the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. The lost sheep. 100 sheep, one was lost. 10 coins, one was lost. 2 sons, one was lost. Have you ever thought about it this way? But the quantum seems to be going up through them, don't they? In the first story, 1% is lost. And the shepherd goes out and finds. The second story, 10% is lost, but is found. And then 50% is lost in the story of the lost son, or the prodigal son. You see, the sheep has to be sought and found. The shepherd went out after. The coin has to be sought and found. But the son cannot be sought. The son must return. The reality is that we all have, to a greater or lesser extent, rebelled against God. You see, there's only really two classes of human beings, those who are prodigals or those who were prodigals. And we all need to come back to our Heavenly Father. He is there, He is willing to receive you back into the family, and He's made a way possible for you. You see, with those prophetic words that came earlier before we started the message, are you estranged from your Heavenly Father this morning? Are you a prodigal son or daughter? Perhaps, maybe you're like the older brother in the story of the prodigal son, where you're still in the family, but you don't realize all that you have, and life is more mundane than adventure. Do you need to know that God is your Father this morning? Do you have unresolved issues with parents or with children? Are you struggling with parenting? Maybe you're finding it really hard. And that happens so much, isn't it? I mean, people tell you, oh, it's wonderful. And you can be talking to friends and they're just saying, parenting is just the most wonderful. It's just so fulfilling. And you're thinking, are they crazy? It's just about killing me. And at times, sometimes it does do that. Or maybe even you feel that you've failed at parenting. Maybe it's through a broken relationship. Maybe a child that's turned away from the Lord. Or maybe you feel whatever you do with your kids, you just can't get through to them. See, our Heavenly Father is here this morning and He wants you and He wants me to receive forgiveness and mercy and grace and His fatherly love. Well, see, we need to come to the Father. We need to return to the Father. And we cannot know God as our Heavenly Father if we don't come back to Him. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." We need to come back to the Father, and the Father has made Jesus the only way we can possibly come back to Him. There is no other way. It is only Jesus. By believing in His name, believing that He is the eternal Son of God, that He died on the cross to pay the punishment for our sin, believing that Jesus is the glorified Son of God who was raised on the third day. He once was dead and He's now alive and He lives forever. It's believing that Jesus, the glorified one, is Jesus, the ascended one, who now, at this very moment, sits at the right hand of the Father, praying for you and for me. Romans 8, verse 33 and 34 says this, "Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Jesus Christ is He who died. Yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of the Father, who also intercedes for us." The Son of Man, the risen, glorified, and ascended Jesus Christ is praying for us as He sits at the right hand of the Father. And the Father who loves you so much that He sent Jesus to come and to die on the cross. That Heavenly Father that is here this morning through His Holy Spirit, and He wants to minister to our hearts this morning. He wants to bring freedom and forgiveness, and He wants to restore lost years. See, if any of these areas have spoken to you this morning, then please come and pray. I'm going to ask the band to come up now, if Chrissy. We're going to have one song. See, if you're here this morning and you're feeling estranged, that's the first thing. If you're feeling estranged or separated or far removed from our Heavenly Father, your Heavenly Father, You've known him before. You've known his voice, that familiar voice. You've seen him before, but life has just made the lenses scratched, and there's other voices now that are out there that are calling to you. He's speaking to you this morning. He's crying out saying, come back. Perhaps it's a relationship with your parents. Perhaps it's a relationship with your children. Perhaps you're here and you don't know Jesus. You've never accepted him as Lord and Savior. You're hearing of this. Who's this Heavenly Father? Who? I want to know him. If you're in any of those categories, then we would love to pray with you. We'd love to pray with you and help you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. We'd love to pray with you to bring you back in to a relationship with your Father or restore that relationship. So let's stand if you're able. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you call us to honor our parents. Your word says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land that the Lord gives to you. Lord, I want to pray that blessing over every one of us here. In Ephesians, it said it's the first commandment with a promise, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord gives to you. I want to pray that for everyone here, Lord. And as we worship, I ask you, Holy Spirit, to come and minister to hearts. We are going to have a time of worship, but I want that worship to be a reflective time. I want it to be a time where you're thinking, Lord, help me. Sean and I are going to be at the front. We'd love to pray with anyone. If any of these topics that we've covered struck a chord, let's pray. Please don't leave here this morning if God's speaking to you. It can be an increased heart rate. Some people say they get sweaty palms. Some people say they feel a bit nauseous. God will begin to stir in his Holy Spirit in different ways. Maybe you'll hear a voice from him. Maybe it's his word that's spoken to you through the word that's given. Lord God, come and do a work. Come and do all that you want to do this morning. Thank you that you prepared us this morning with your prophetic word. We want to open ourselves now to the ministry of the Holy Spirit so that we can be free, that we can be restored, that we can be forgiven. We can honor our parents. All in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.